The United Nations Climate Change Conference is due to kick off in Glasgow at the end of the month, but we're still lacking clarity on the government's climate policy. Federal Resources Minister Keith Pitt was on the program last night, and when pushed on whether an agreement will be reached before Glasgow, here's what he had to say.
What I think is that we're part of the coalition. The impacts in regional areas are clearly much higher than they are in the cities. That's just a statement of fact. We'll obviously look very closely at any proposal, and we want to make sure that no matter what the plan is, it comes down to who's paying and what's the cost.
The Grattan Institute has published a series of reports called Towards Net Zero, outlining practical policies that could help us reduce emissions. In their latest report, they say that despite its bad reputation, carbon offsetting will be essential if we're to reach net zero. Alison Reeve is the Energy and Climate Deputy Program Director and one of the authors of the report, and she joins me tonight. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, Patricia.
So isn't carbon offsetting just throwing problems into the long grass and delaying investment in greener technologies?
So, Patricia, it often does get that reputation because that is how a lot of companies have used it in the past. What we've said in our report is that the very best ton is the one that you don't have to offset, and that's the one that you don't emit in the first place. So when we're talking about offsetting, what we do need to acknowledge is that even if we try really quite hard to reduce emissions wherever and whenever we can, there will be some left that is either too expensive or that we're not willing to reduce or that there's not a technology available to actually reduce them. And that's when offsetting comes into play. Offsetting is there for the emissions where it's too expensive, too hard, or impossible to offset.
Okay, so why is carbon offsetting an important part of reducing emissions?
Really, when we think about getting to net zero, which is, you know, what the government is currently debating amongst itselves, the net part is where offsetting is important. So offsetting allows, I guess, two things on the journey towards net zero. What it does mean is that if it's cheaper and easier for me to reduce my emissions than it is for you, I can do a little bit more and I can create an offsetting unit and hand that over to you and you can use that to offset some of your emissions. That means that jointly we can be more ambitious about how fast we go towards net zero, and it also means that we get there in the cheapest way possible. Then once we get, you know, much, much closer to reaching that net zero date, where offsets then start to come into play is, as I said before, when we're talking about things where it's suddenly become quite difficult for us to find a solution to avoid those emissions altogether. A really good example of that might be the emissions that come from beef cattle. So that's actually quite a reasonable chunk of Australia's emissions, and it's really, really hard to stop them because it's actually very difficult to stop cows from burping. And even though there's sort of some technology that's in development that you might be able to use in things like feedlots and so on, it's been very difficult to do that with cows that are roaming around Western Queensland. And so our best option with those sorts of things may be in the long term to offset those emissions.
Which sectors would likely rely most heavily on carbon offsetting to reduce their emissions?
So grazing beef is definitely one, and also sheep. There's also some sectors like aviation where at the moment it's really hard to see what the replacement is going to be for aviation fuel. There's also some minerals processing and chemicals processing that we do where there's literally a chemical reaction that takes place that makes carbon dioxide. And until we start using a completely different process or a completely different product, we are going to be stuck with some emissions. There's also some sectors where there's lots of solutions available, and we think we can probably eliminate almost all of the emissions in that sector, but there will be that little bit left over, and that little bit will be quite large. So in actual ton terms. So electricity and cars are two of those. It's relatively easy to get rid of 90% of the emissions in the electricity sector, but that very last bit is actually, at the moment, with the technology that we know about, looks expensive and difficult. So we may find ourselves offsetting that.
Is there a risk that carbon offset will keep some industries carbon neutral and they won't have to work at other ways of reducing emissions?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have offsetting, the other part of the equation that you really need is a strong policy to encourage people to reduce their emissions first. And that's what we really need for a lot of those industries at the moment. We don't have strong signals, particularly in the industrial sector, to push emissions down before people start thinking about offsetting.
Is there a risk that carbon offsetting gives us a false confidence about the progress we're making globally in reducing emissions?
Yeah, absolutely. Where that often arises, Patricia, is, and this is really one of the reasons that offsetting's had a pretty bad reputation in the past. If someone creates an offset and there's no actual activity that took place to reduce emissions to back that up, it's what we call a hollow credit. It means that you think you've reduced emissions somewhere and someone might claim and use that offset, but actually emissions haven't fallen. And that's where if there's too much of that that goes on, you can start to get a false sense of what your progress is like on reducing emissions. And so that's why things around integrity of crediting are really, really important. And our report calls on the federal government to put some extra resources into making sure that they bolster the integrity of offsetting units in Australia.
At the start of the interview, we heard the Federal Resources Minister Keith Pitt saying that emissions reductions disproportionately affect those in regional areas. Do you have sympathy for that?
I have some sympathy for it, but I think the other thing we need to remember is that the cost of climate change impacts also are higher in regional areas, right? It is the agriculture sector that bears the brunt of things like droughts and shifting rainfall patterns and so on. It was regional areas that bore the brunt of the Black Summer fires. And it's also regional areas like North Queensland who are much more affected by changes to extreme weather events. So while, you know, it may be true that there are some regions that are strongly affected if we move away from fossil fuels and we move towards net zero, we also need to bear in mind that it's going to be people in regional areas who bear more of the costs of climate change.
Finally, with the climate conference coming up in under 3 weeks, how do you think it will impact Australia's international reputation if we don't enter into the talks with firm commitments? It looks like something's firming up, but it hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, it's a really tricky question, Patricia. I think what we sort of need to accept and think about a little more is that regardless of what we take to this conference, the world is moving ahead pretty fast. And, you know, you can't stop a wave from breaking on the beach. You have to either choose to surf that wave or get dumped by it. And what this conference is about increasing ambition. There's going to be pressure on all countries, not just on us, to do more. But when you look at how much our economy depends on exporting things to other countries, particularly fossil fuels, if those commitments are strengthened at Glasgow, and I hope that they are, then we are looking at a decline in a significant part of our economy. And what we need to do is actually start grappling with the reality of that.
Alison, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights.
No worries, Patricia. Thanks a lot.
Alison Reeve is the Energy and Climate Deputy Program Director joining us tonight, joining us to talk, of course, about